Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death, rather it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Judeans said, "See how he loved him?" Some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Judeans, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, before I begin the sermon, let me thank your pastors for inviting me here to preach. And what I think is the second time, but the first time was in the early 1990s, so I don't really, I just have vague recollections of being this high up preaching. But that's about it. In any case, I'm really very honored to be here. In between, I edited actually 2 volumes of the translation of Heinrich Melchior Muhlenberg's correspondence. So I know a little bit more about this congregation now than I knew the last time I was here, and it is truly a deep honor to be here among you today to share the gospel. So let us begin in the name of Jesus. Amen. Martha said, if you had been there, if only. John tells the story of the raising of Lazarus in such a way so as to highlight Martha's and later Mary's complaint. Jesus dawdles instead of racing to Bethany to rescue his poor sick friend. If only he had hurried. If only he had arrived in time. If only Lazarus hadn't gotten sick in the first place. Only. Mary and Martha, though, are just filling in for us in this story. Our lives, our Christian lives of faith, are in fact filled with if onlys. If only I had insisted my loved one go to the doctor earlier. If only I'd slowed down around that curve. If only he or she didn't drink and drive. Or if only I had bought stock when it was low and sold it when it was high. Or for those of us that are not fans of the University of North Carolina, if only Oregon had scored the last point. There are all kinds of if-onlys. I mean, they even are serious ones. If only people cared more for the poor, or if only people cared more about the country. The if-onlys are all around us. Except that Mary and Martha's if-onlys are far more poignant, more upsetting, because they are directed to the Lord, to God. That's what both women call Jesus, Lord. Lord, if you had been here. Kyrie eleison is the Greek, Lord, have mercy, which we have already sung this morning. If only. And we share those if onlys with Mary and Martha too. If only God had. You fill in the blank. If only my loved one hadn't gotten sick, God. Hadn't gotten injured, God. Hadn't died, God. But they're finally all the same, if only. If only there were no sickness, no death, no tragedy or heartache, God. You know, sometimes when we read the gospel story on a Sunday morning, there can be some sort of a gap between us and the characters in the story. But not today. No, we know from the get-go just how Martha and Mary felt. Because their complaint to God is the same one as ours. Exactly the same. My mother was brought up to believe that Christians weren't supposed to complain like Mary and Martha. Then in an instant, she lost eyesight in one eye to the shingles virus and went into a deep depression and nearly died. Now, I was a pastor in those days and came to visit her as she was recovering, but still was hardly speaking a word at all. Would go an entire day and speak maybe 4 or 5 words. By chance, I brought along a Bible study on Job written by my former teacher, Dan Simonson. And she happened upon it and opened it and started to read it with her good eye. And suddenly, she blurted out, "I think I'm Job." And she was. And in similar catastrophic moments, we all are, sitting on an ash heap, bereft of friends and comfort, and permitted to complain to God with Mary and Martha and Job, and yes, with my mother, and say, "If only." But what does Jesus do? What does God do with our if onlys? When we first hear the story, it may appear that here is where our situation and Martha's differs greatly. After all, Jesus may have arrived late, but in the end, he raises Lazarus from the dead. But when reading John's gospel, never forget that John always remembers his purpose in writing. Not to pen Jesus' biography so that we know what he did on a particular day at a particular time, but as John writes at the end of his gospel, "so that you may believe." These things are written so that you may believe, you, the readers. And in this instance, in this 11th chapter of John, look at how the story unfolds. Martha brings her if only to Jesus. And the first thing he does is to reveal Martha's faith in the midst of her doubts and complaints. So John writes that Martha said, "I know God will give you whatever you ask of him." Hoping against hope that Jesus somehow will do the impossible. But Jesus answers with a line from the Creed, really. That's what it amounts to. He says, "Your brother will rise again." Well, Martha knows that. Or as we say it, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And Martha's response has to almost, and I tried to do this, has to be read with a kind of deep sigh in her voice. "Oh, I know that he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. But a lot of good that does me now." I once heard Martha's words from the lips of a 6-year-old, Dean Weiss. I had just told him that his father was dying, and his sobs shook the whole room. His mother and I were completely silenced by his grief and by our own. But after a few moments, a minute or two, he kind of composed himself a bit, and he looked at me and confessed, "Well, I know that when my dad dies, he will be with Jesus. And I know Jesus will raise him from the dead." 6-year-old. And then he added, "But that's a long time to wait." Ah, Dean. Ah, Martha. Ah, humanity. It's a long time to wait. Whether it's 4 days or 4 millennia or however long. But you see, Martha's conversation with Jesus doesn't end there. He brings all of her questions and longings with him into the present and then says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." That's it. This Jesus, whose voice we hear this morning, and upon whose body and blood we feast this Sunday, speaks to Martha and to us the only words of comfort that we have in the face of death. I am the resurrection and the life. That's all that we have to throw at what St. Paul calls the final enemy. That's the only answer we need for all of our if-onlys. Jesus' promise and Martha's faith. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What can Martha say to that? What can we say? Except, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's coming into the world. For Martha, the confirmation of her faith came only a short time later when a weeping Jesus, broken down by all the world's if-onlys, all of them, shouts, "Lazarus, come out." But even for Martha and Mary, it was a long time to wait. And in the meantime, they had, and we have, Jesus' promise to us to be resurrection and life. See, I was widowed nearly 16 years ago. And at a funeral like that, as some of you I'm sure have experienced on your own, when a loved one dies, your life is whirling and everything is a blur. And I remember next to nothing about that day. But then as people were coming through the line, the receiving line, my next door neighbor, a good Presbyterian believer, Larry, leaned over and whispered in my ear, "Now remember, Tim, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life." That's the only thing I remember from that day. It's the only thing I needed to hear. It's the only thing we all need to hear. And so today, as we come, filled with our if-onlys, our doubts and our sorrows, Jesus' same words are the only ones we need to hear too. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, it's true, one day his voice will sound a second time in our ears as he shouts by our graves on that last day, "Christian, come forth." But while we wait, in the midst of all of our questions, today, he is resurrection and life for us. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.